Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a teaching that I've entitled The Christian First Aid Kit, and this is taken from John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus ministering to His disciples during the most crisis time of their life. And the same things that He told them to prepare them for this crisis are the same things that we can take and use in our crisis situation. So that's why I call it a Christian First Aid Kit. I've been teaching from John chapter 14, and all of this week, this is our fourth day, and I haven't got beyond the first half of the first verse yet. And I know that some people just think that I, ought to move on, but this is the way that I personally receive from God. When God speaks something to me, man, I'll sit there and let it soak in. I think sometimes we're too eager to just move through and get all of this information, and we don't let the little pieces that God speak to us soak in. And it's not really how much you know, it's how well you know what you know. And this is just really important, the things that I've been sharing this week. The very first thing that Jesus told His disciples, the very first thing you need to do in a crisis situation is grab hold of your emotions. Don't panic, or the scriptural terminology, don't let your heart be troubled. Most people think that's impossible, but that's what I've been spending all week about, is saying that the very fact that Jesus commanded it shows that it is possible. And if you can grab hold of your emotions, boy, it'll make a huge difference. You know, yesterday at the close of our program, I was using these scriptures out of James chapter 1. And let me just amplify this, because I really didn't think about this until the end of the program, and it needed more emphasis in what I gave it. But it says in James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." This same word lust is translated desires other places and in other translations. And it says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." This verse is saying that you're in your emotions. This is what it's talking about. Your desires is where sin is conceived. You know, most born-again believers do not want to go out and live in sin. And yet they find themselves constantly being drawn to it, and they act out sin, and they just can't understand why. And a lot of it, I'd say the majority of it, is because most people don't feel responsible for their emotions. They feel responsible for their actions. But your emotions are actually what conceives and ultimately gives birth through your actions. You know, if a woman wanted to stop having children, the way to do it is not to have a physical relationship. And if you never conceive children, I can guarantee you, you'll never give birth to a child. But if a woman just constantly went out and had sexual relations and yet didn't want any children, and if she didn't take any steps to protect herself, well, then it's just natural that you conceive a child, then it's going to give birth to it. And some people have used abortion like birth control. They don't control themselves. They don't act in a godly way. There's a lot of single women that are getting pregnant and giving birth or using abortion to stop the birth, but that's not the way to do it. That's murdering a child once it's already been conceived. The thing you do, if you don't want to give birth, don't ever conceive. See, in the natural, people understand this, and they recognize that birth is a process that starts with conception. But when it comes to spiritual things, people will sit there and they will see them act out some sin, and they have a disconnect, and they don't realize that sin started in their emotions. And so they just don't feel any responsibility. It would be the equivalent of a woman going out and just shacking up with anybody, having sexual relationship every single day. And then when she gets pregnant, she just can't understand why this has happened. Boy, that would be totally irresponsible. Well, in a lot of ways, Christians are doing a similar type of thing, to where they are just allowing their emotions. They allow their emotions to be influenced by other things. They feel zero responsibility for their emotions, so they just indulge them, let their emotions run wild, and then when it starts bringing forth sin, some action, they can't go through and do the things that God has told them to do, and they just can't understand, why am I like this? It's because you allowed that to be conceived in your emotions long before. There are people that embrace depression and discouragement, and they just think that this is natural. I remember one woman in particular that was part of our school back in the very beginning, and she was in school for a while, and then she wasn't there. I got to asking what had happened, called her and her husband in, and it turned out that ever since she was a little girl, she just had depression 1 or 2 months out of the year, and she would just go into a funk and be depressed. And this is the way that she grew up. She didn't think anything about it. And so when she got depressed, she quit school. I called her in, was telling her these exact same things, that you can control your emotions. You don't have to be like that. And she basically was saying, oh, no, there's no problem. I'll be over this in a month or two. It's kind of like a cycle that she goes through. And she was acting like there was nothing wrong with it. And I turned over and used these very scriptures, and I said, you are conceiving something every time you give in to depression and discouragement. And you know, this is offensive to some people. I don't mean it to be offensive, but I'm trying to get my point across, that if you would look at it, that every time you give in to depression, discouragement, fear, worry, care, any time that you allow these negative emotions to have dominance in your life, in a sense, it's like you're having intercourse with the devil. You are conceiving something in those negative emotions. Like I said, I know that that's offensive to some people, but I'm trying to get my point across. If you would looked at it that way, if you quit indulging it and saying, well, this is just normal. You know, this person rejected me, and so I'm going to sit here and for a week or two, I'm just going to be discouraged and bothered over it, and I'm going to have a little pity party. Sometimes it actually feels like you'd be better off to just indulge these emotions. Again, this is the way it's being modeled on television, in our movies, in most people's churches. They are basically encouraging these things and saying you're in denial if you don't just vent and give in to all of these things. I am not in denial. I don't deny that I have emotions. I don't deny that sometimes I feel like punching a person in the face. But you know what? I do deny that that's all that there is to me. I recognize that there is a born-again part of me that has love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of the fruit of the Spirit. It's listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I am denying that I am just a hunk of flesh and that I can't control myself. There's a part of me that is God-like. I've been born again, and I can control my emotions. And I tell you, if you would start looking at things this way and just recognize it in a sense, you are letting Satan plant a seed in you every time you give place to negative emotions. If you would look at it that way, I guarantee you it would probably change the way you allow your emotions just to dominate and control you. Praise God. I know that this is a touchy subject. I've had some very good friends, very close friends, get very upset with me over this. And you know what? I don't claim that I've got a total revelation on the things of God. And there may need to be some tweaking to the way that I believe things. But I tell you, this is one of the main things that God has used in my life. I consider this to be a foundational truth. And I just believe that the way that I'm presenting this is the proper way to present it. You do not have to just let emotions control and dominate you. So again, back to John 14:1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. I've tried to make that point for 3.5, nearly 4 days now. How is it that you control your emotions? The last part of that verse says, you believe in God, believe also in me. So the simple answer to not letting your heart be troubled is believe. Trust God. That really is as simple as it gets right there. But some people think, well, I believe in God, and yet I'm still depressed and I'm still discouraged. You know, let me just say this in love. I'm trying to be kind to you, but I'm trying to tell you the truth because it's the truth that you know that sets you free. But you are not in faith if you are stressed out and worried and careful and all of these kind of things. If you are depressed and discouraged, fearful, looking what might happen in your life, it's not faith. Faith is trust. And if you truly trusted God, there would be a peace that permeates you. And you know what? It's easy to say this. Sometimes there's been times in my life where I thought I was in faith, and yet I let things start bothering me, and it wasn't until the Lord just, you know, through the Word or through something, shone the light on it that I realized I'd gotten out of faith and didn't even realize it. But I'm telling you, there are characteristics of faith. And one of them is that when you are truly believing God, then you have cast your care over on the Lord about this thing, and it is not consuming you. It's not worrying you. It's not bothering you. That's not to say that you may not have some information that might be contrary. The doctor might be telling you that you aren't well yet and it's something you have to deal with. I'm not saying that you just ignore it, that it's like you don't even hear or acknowledge that there's anything any different, but it's that you're able to deal with it. You're able to cast your care over on the Lord. Let me use this passage of Scripture out of 1 Peter in chapter 5. And in verse 6 it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." And then the next verse says, "Casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you." I don't believe that those are disconnected statements. When it tells you to humble yourself, the verse right in front of this, verse 5, said that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And the way you humble yourself is by casting your care over on the Lord. If you are still worried, if you are still having to stay up at night and fret and wonder how you're going to take care of this, and, "Oh God, what am I going to do?" You might be able to look around and see multitudes of people that's the way they deal with it. But if you look at the Scripture, true humility, true trusting God is casting your care over on it, saying, "God, it's your problem." And if you are still stressed out and worried about something, that is an indication that you really aren't operating in faith. And that is why your heart is troubled. Again, I don't mean to present myself as I've got this perfectly fixed in my life. I'm still green and growing. I hadn't arrived, but I've left. But I can tell you, I've got situations going on right now. We just bought a piece of property up in Woodland Park. And it was a supernatural deal. There's no doubt in my mind that God led us there. We got it for about 1/3 to 1/4 the price. And because of it, I'm in the process of building new facilities and expanding our Bible college to accommodate up to 3,000 people. And it's going to cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. But you know, one of the ways I can tell I'm in faith is that I haven't spent one anxious thought over this whole thing. I actually have zero worry, zero care about it. And I mean, it's a lot of money. Right now, we have to have about $2 million a month just to pay our bills and to do what we're doing. And I've added this project, that if we had this project completed in the next 3 years, that would increase our income, our need, by $1 million a month. You know, if you were to sit down and just think about that, and in the natural realm, and if I was to get my heart troubled, I mean, I could have my heart troubled as much as any person that's watching this program. You know, a 50% growth in our income right now is just unimaginable during a time that people are talking about recession and all of this other stuff. I'm just saying that there, if I was to allow myself, I could get discouraged over this. I could get fearful over it. I could start worrying. I could start saying, "How are we going to do this?" And yet I haven't done that at all. And I believe that's because if you are truly trusting God, then you have cast your care about this over on the Lord. If you are worried about it, it's an indication that you aren't really in faith. So take all of these things I've said, put it back into John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. How do you keep from doing that? By just simply believing God. There's a lot of people, that's subjective, and some people think, "Oh, I'm believing God," but you're stressed out, you're worried, you're fearful, you can't sleep at night. You may be in the process of trying to believe God. You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is a beginning stage of faith, and you may be in the process of hoping that you're healed, hoping that your financial situation is worked out. And you could still be in a stage where there's anxiety and care about it. But when you really get into a position of truly trusting in God and your faith is anchored in Him, you may have to deal with some thoughts, but you will have your cares cast over on the Lord and it won't be a problem to you. I know some of you think, "Well, man, I just don't agree with that." Well, I believe that that's what the Lord is saying, and this is what He's telling them. They're facing the crucifixion of Jesus. And He's saying, don't be troubled. Well, why not be troubled? Because you're going to see Jesus crucified and the terrible things that happen. How could you not be troubled? If you were operating in faith, if you took the promises that Jesus gave about that He would resurrect, that He was going to pay for the sins of the world. Do you know the disciples, I know that some people are going to think this is completely impossible, but this is the way that I live. If they would have taken the promises, the disciples actually could have been excited and anticipating that Jesus promised He was going to do this, that He would bear the sins of the world, that He would resurrect. They could have been in anticipation. There could have been an excitement. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for them to hate the way that Jesus was treated, to hate the way that the carnal people had treated Him. There was things there that they shouldn't be praising God or excited about, but they could have looked past all of this. And if they would have been in faith, they could have actually been in the upper room in between the crucifixion and the resurrection. And instead of operating in fear and worry, what's going to happen to us? And we thought Jesus was the Christ, and how does this fit? Instead of those kind of reactions, they could have actually been talking about this and saying, man, on the third day, we're going to see. They could have been anticipating this. You can do that. Faith will give you a different perspective on things than what most people are doing. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying this to you, that there are people watching this program right now that you are just stressed out to the max, and you have thought that it's absolutely normal. I'm telling you, it may be normal for a person that's not believing, but if you believe, it is not normal. You should not have your heart troubled. You could be at peace regardless of what is going on in your life. You know, I was just with a very good friend of mine, Pastor Bob Nichols in Fort Worth, Texas. And Bob and Joy Nichols are just a tremendous blessing to me and thousands of people. But many years ago, I forget the exact timing, but I'm sure it's over 20 years ago, he had a little church in a post office building in Fort Worth, Texas. And then the Jesus revival, the hippie movement, Jesus people happened. And these people started flooding into his church. And he grew to where he had about 200 people. And he couldn't contain them in this little post office. And so anyway, he moved into the First Baptist Church in downtown Fort Worth, an auditorium that seated 2,000 people, over 200,000 square feet in the facility. It was a massive facility and a huge price. And he had just less than 200 people. And when he moved in, many of the people thought he was absolutely crazy, and so half of those 200 left. He had about 100 people or so in this auditorium that would seat 2,000 people with this huge piece of property. And anyway, people thought he was crazy. I've actually told him before that, you know, I didn't have a word from God. I didn't hear what he heard. If I would have been with him at that time, I might have thought he was crazy. I mean, it was just way out there. But he kept believing God, and he had balloon payments come on his building, and every year or two he'd have to renegotiate this whole thing, and he was struggling, and he was under the weight of this facility, and it was just burdening him down. And one time he got so desperate that he went and laid in a field all night long, just a vacant lot. And he wasn't going to leave that field until he got a word from God. He was wanting God to speak something to him. How could he handle this pressure and stuff? And he stayed out there all night long and didn't hear a single thing. And so in the morning, the sun was coming up. People were driving by, seeing this guy lay in the field. He finally decided, I have to get up and leave. So he got back in his car, turned his car on, and as soon as he turned his car on, he heard, "Preacher, you don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God." And he instantly turned his car back off. And at first, he thought this was God speaking to him in an audible voice. And then he recognized that he had the radio tuned to a Christian radio station, and that was R.W. Schambach. And he used to say things like that all the time. And so he said, "Oh, I thought that was God, but it was Schambach." And he said that the Lord spoke to him, and he says, "No, that was me speaking to you through him." Says, "You don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God." And you know, Bob didn't get anything special. All he did was just get a confirmation that, "God, you're going to take care of it." He started trusting God, cast his care over on the Lord, and the pressure, the worry, the fear left. Anyway, it's a long story, but now he not only paid off that facility and had that facility debt-free, but then he had two tornadoes collide over his property, and in 46 seconds, 200,000 square feet was devastated. And he was on the television. I saw him on television within an hour of those two tornadoes colliding, and he was saying, God didn't do this, but God is going to work it together for good. We're going to come out of this twice as good as we were before. See, that is exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples. That's exactly the point. He was in a situation where 30-something years of ministry was just devastated in 46 seconds, and yet he refused to let his heart be troubled, and he started believing God. And he professed that they would come out twice as good as they were before. And did you know that he's now got a facility that is another 2,000 seat auditorium? He's got more square feet than he had in his other facility. It's in a better location right on I-35. He had enough money that he built a Christian education school with two gymnasiums in it. Everything is completely debt-free, more acreage, better in every way. He's twice as good. Matter of fact, he said this last week when I was with him that we may be three times better off financially and as far as facilities and stuff as they were before. And it all worked. And by his own testimony, when he just believed God, then the anxiety, the worry, the care about how am I going to do this just came off of him. I tell you, when you're in a position of faith, it makes you different than the average person. And there are some of you watching this program right now that if you were arrested for being a Christian, there wouldn't be enough evidence to convict you. You have the same worries, the same cares, the same frustrations, the same fears, and you are thinking you're believing God. I'm telling you, the way you let your heart not be troubled is just to stand up and start believing God and cast your care over on Him. It's a process. It doesn't just happen instantly. This isn't the kind of thing that you can come and I can just wave my hand over you and boom, all of your cares are gone and automatically you're in faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to start educating yourself. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that faith is based on knowledge. It doesn't say it in those words, but in verse 3 it says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given unto us through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Well, faith is certainly one of the things that we need in our Christian walk. And so you could say that all things that pertain unto life and godliness, you could say faith is given based on the knowledge of Him. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God gives us knowledge of God and His ways. And if we would just saturate ourselves in the Word of God, faith would begin to start rising. And this is how you keep your heart from being troubled. I'm out of time again today, but tomorrow I'm going to continue talking about this. I believe it'll really help you, so I encourage you to listen in tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth. And also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get this new teaching entitled The Christian First Aid Kit.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Today's complete teaching titled Christian First Aid Kit was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. This series has over 6 hours of teaching and is available on either audio CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get the Christian First Aid Kit as part of the Survival Kit package. In addition to the Christian First Aid Kit, this package also includes Christian Survival Kit, a 16-part series. Together, these two series provide 22 hours of teaching. The entire package has a catalog value of $150. But today, you can get the Survival Kit package for a gift of just $125 or more when you order. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Christian First Aid Kit Part 1 free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 9th through the 11th, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 31st through April 2nd. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 14th through the 16th, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to make you aware that we now have our ministry, our Bible college ministry, available on online Bible school. And what this does, it allows you to go at your pace, take as many courses as you want, but you're still in a structured class situation where you have interaction with other students as well as a facilitator. It helps discipline you, but you can go at your own pace anywhere in the world. We have a web address on the screen, and I encourage you to go check out our online Bible school today.
Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.